Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Tufik Zakariyeh, who is a public administration graduate, also currently a city councilman. Tufik, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray, for the opportunity.
Now, Tufik, I've known you for many years as an activist on a variety of fronts. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and how you got interested in these matters?
Became interested in civil liberties and other economic issues and social issues as a result of 9/11, when President Bush created a Patriot Act, and I became concerned about the infringement of civil liberties in our country. Joined a group, and that's how I met you at Coral Gables Congregational Church, and became more involved, more active, attended protests, attended forums, created forums at churches and universities, hosted speakers, and did some lobbying in our in Congress, citizenry lobbying, not one of these big major lobbying groups. I've been involved ever since, and currently I'm a councilman here in Miami-Dade County. We primarily do vote on land zoning issues, and which not very related to civil liberties, but it's an issue that's also dear to me because land zoning has everything related to environmental, to the growth, to the expansion of cities, expansion of the county. And if we don't control it and maintain it properly, it could create disastrous effects in the near future. And I guess you're aware of how Miami-Dade has grown the past 30 years as a former resident.
Yeah, I moved to Miami in 1967, so I've seen some changes.
You've seen some major changes. And so, that's about it right now. I mean, I've been there since November, and hopefully I'll get reelected in November of this year.
Well, let me ask you this. I know you have your heritage is Lebanese English. What are you hearing from your Mideast sources now? Do you still have family?
Beirut. I have my cousins and uncle and aunt living there. Fortunately, I mean, they're doing pretty well because of their economic standards of living.
That's great.
They're just the family, but that doesn't reflect the entire Lebanese population.
Of course.
The country right now is somewhat in a quagmire. There's been a lot of civil unrest. There's been, every week there's electricity cuts in Beirut and surrounding areas. And there's an issue of cost and people not paying and infrastructure cost and it cost of importing fuel to the country, as well as the political situation where they're fighting over seats and they're fighting over political power that's not really pertinent to a majority of the people's concerns.
Now, as I understand it, Lebanon has a parliament?
Lebanon has a parliament. They have a prime minister, which is a Sunni Muslim. The president is Maronite, which is Eastern Catholic. And then the parliament speaker is Shiite Muslim. And everyone has their own powers of how to legislate and how to distribute power among their sects and among their religious sects. And since the Arab Spring started, there's been a small resurrection of activists who are calling for the elimination of the sectarian system, which means that it gives quotas to Christians, it gives smoke quotas to Muslims and different sects within both religions. And the reason being, it hasn't really benefited a lot of people. It's benefited the clans, it's benefited the families, the power, but it hasn't created a improvement in the political or economic situation for the past 50 years. More than that, 60 years, I believe. Lebanon became a parliamentary democracy in 1943. And ever since then, it's been kind of like a civil quagmire. There's always a new prime minister, there's always a new president, and there's always civil and military unrest. And so currently right now, fortunately, there's nothing really major going on except there's been protests against electricity cuts that's been going on for 10, 15 years. There's been people just dismayed about what the situation is. And the people who are happy are the people who are making money.
Yeah, that's every country has its one percenters, right?
every country has their one percenters. That is correct. And a lot of young graduates like myself or who went to university there, who went to American University of Beirut or Lebanese American University, they either leave to the Gulf to find better job opportunities, or they go to Europe, or they come here to America.
Let me ask you this. You know, speak to the areas that you've heard the most, should we say, ground truth about. Lebanon has some very, very interesting neighbors. Israel, Syria. What do you hear from some of these neighboring states? Do you hear border issues from folks you know? Or what have you heard about the Arab Spring and its reactions and its, should we say, boil out?
Well, as a result of what's happening in Syria, there's been, allegedly, probably believe it, that there's been people who's been smuggling arms into Syria to fight the Syrian government. Then, on top of this, you know, historically, Syria was controlling Lebanon for 20-something years, and so there's always a lot of people in Lebanon that did not like the Syrian control of Lebanon. The irony of it is that the patriarch of the Maronite Church, who was fiercely anti-Syrian and actually is in support of the Assad regime because they protect Syrian Christians. The Assad regime protects the Syrian Christians. So the people who were against the Syrian regime in Lebanon, occupying Lebanon, are now for it because they are against this so-called Islamic caliphate that might be created in Syria. And then on top of that, Syria does not recognize Lebanon formally. They don't have an embassy in Beirut. But the relations among governments is they're favorable to each other. Sometimes they're neutral. But it's also depending on the people who's in power.
I would think that with so much instability in Syria, that there'd be a lot of refugees heading to both Lebanon and Jordan. Do you hear that?
I have heard a lot of refugees coming from Syria to the northern part of Lebanon. I don't have an estimate of how many, but I do know they have been coming. Before the Syrian uprising, there was a lot of Syrian laborers. They were kind of considered the Mexicans, and I don't want to put it in a bad way, but they were the builders of construction. They built the apartment buildings and the condominiums, and they were there, and so they were there for economic reasons, just like how a lot of Mexican immigrants came here for economic reasons.
Sure.
And so there's been refugees for economic reasons, and now there's more for political unrest. And I don't know about Jordan. I'm assuming they might be in Jordan as well, but I don't know the figures. I do know Lebanon. And then on top of that, the civil unrest has, from what I was told last summer, as a result of the civil unrest in Syria, there's been less people coming to Beirut for vacation for the summer months. A lot of the Arabs that come from the Gulf to take the highway that goes through Syria from the Gulf goes to Syria, and they have chalets, or they have condos, or they have some property in Lebanon that they like to stay in during the summer months. So it's the economy, the civil unrest has led to a slow economic downfall in Lebanon. So that's why Lebanon is being neutral about what's happening in Syria, because it's to their benefit that they have a positive relationship with the country.
As it relates
to Israel, right now there seems to be a truce between Hezbollah, which is the second biggest so-called army in Lebanon, and Israel. Israel doesn't want to fight another Lebanese war for internal reasons, and they don't want to fight Israel as well for internal reasons as well. So, you know, there's been a truce, you would say, and there's been a few skirmishes, you know, along the border. But, you know, fortunately, nothing has happened for right now.
Well, it's always glad to hear that there's less bloodshed, that's for sure.
Right.